الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن الله تعالى يرفع بهذا الكتاب أقواما ويضع به آخرين أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam and my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله سبحانه وتعالى is رحيم الرحمن الرؤوف ودود. He is loving, He is merciful, He is benevolent, He is compassionate. He continually showers His favors upon us. His favors, His bounties are innumerable. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not become successful. You will never be able to count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they are beyond counting. There are certain favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which the human intellect is able to comprehend as being the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the eyes, the tongue, the ear, the brain, hands, fingers, life, oxygen, food. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me so many favors, we say. And our mind goes towards these favors which the intellect is able to comprehend that yes, this is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wife, children, husband, brothers, sisters, parents, good job, good car, good house, no illness, health. And there are other favors which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continually showers upon us, but which the human intellect is unable to comprehend that this is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now those favors that the human intellect is able to comprehend as being the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so many in number that we are unable to count. And those favors which the human intellect is unable to comprehend as being the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are many more in number than those that we are able to comprehend. For example, one is able to go into the lavatory and relieve himself without any difficulty. That is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are unable to comprehend that this is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are innumerable. People being able to see only the positive aspects of our life, that is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our respected Imam Sahib of this masjid, Maulana Farhan, who is like a son to me, one of my very dear students, he said a few good words about me. But in Arabic we say, Sahibul Bayti Adra Bima Fihi. The owner of the house is more aware than anybody else what is in his house. So I know myself more than anybody else. Imam Al-Auza'i,
Allah Ta'ala, a great scholar. Whenever somebody used to praise him, when people praise us, we should not become the victim of ujub or kibr. Ujub is self-conceit. Kibr, pride. When people praise us, we should immediately look at the shortcomings in our lives. I have this shortcoming in me. I have this shortcoming. I have this fault in me. I am not a faultless person. I am not an angel. I am a person full of faults. I can see this fault in me. 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 We should immediately turn our attention towards the fault or the faults that we find within ourselves, within our lives. And thereafter, whatever the other person is saying regarding us, we should take that as a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not take that praise as something that we deserve. Because if I was faultless, I deserve the praise. But when I am able to see my faults, I can never think of myself being deserving of the praise. So that praise is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that despite my being full of faults, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only making people see my goodness is not my evil. So Imam Auza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, during such moments, would turn to Allah and he would say, Allahumma anta a'lamu bi min nafsi. O Allah, you are more aware of me than even me. I do not know myself as much as you do. So you are more aware of myself than you. Wa ana a'lamu bi nafsi min an-nas. And I am more aware of myself than the people. So you know myself more than me, and I know myself more than the people who are praising me. I know I am full of faults. These people don't know my private life. They meet me once in a while, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for 15 minutes. These people see me only when I am on the minbar, when I am in this chair in the masjid talking about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not know what I do during my nights. They do not know what I do during my days when I am on my own, behind closed doors. They are worthy of praise because they have the ability to see good only, and they have the ability to close their eyes from the evil that is in me. They are worthy of praise because they are able to see and focus on the positive points of the people and not the negative points. They are the good people. They are the good people who are able to praise me and overlook my faults. So, O Allah, you know me better than I know myself, and I know myself better than the people. Allahumma gfirli ما لا يعلمون ولا تؤاخذني بما يقولون. Oh Allah, forgive me for those things that they are unaware of. And oh Allah, do not question me on the day of Qiyamah. Do not punish me for what they are saying about me. That means on the day of Qiyamah, I should not be resurrected and question that, oh, you did not have those qualities and they were praising you, or you did have those qualities through my fadl and they were praising you. You should have said, Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr. Instead of saying, Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr, you became proud. You became a victim of ujuban self-conceit. So I will punish you now. La tu'akhidni bima yakulun. So from the innumerable favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one favor is that people are able to see our good only. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals our faults. He does not let people know. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, when a person commits a sin, then a black dot appears on his heart. If he repents, that black dot is removed. If he commits another sin, another black dot appears on his hand, on his heart. So the first black dot increases, it becomes larger. If he repents, that black dot is removed. If he does not repent, then commits a third sin, then a third black dot appears on his heart. And this continues until the whole heart is covered with blackness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us. And when the whole heart is covered with blackness, the hidayah cannot penetrate in the heart. It is for this reason, when qabr is discussed, when hashr is discussed, when the reckoning of the day of qiyamah is discussed, no effect on the heart. When we go into the qabrastan, when we go into the graveyard, when we see the graves, and when we contemplate regarding the people who are sleeping in the graves, no, nothing happens to our hearts because they are covered in blackness. When we make dua, when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we see Kaaba, when we go to Madina Munawwara, no effect on the hearts. When people are crying, we cannot cry. No effect on the heart. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. And thereafter, when this person continues committing sins, this layer of blackness thickens until this person finds himself in kufr. وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Iman leaves the heart and kufr takes its place. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَى سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَى أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So when a person commits a sin, my friends, it has a very negative effect on our spiritual life. And in the hereafter, everything will be decided on the basis of our spiritual health, spiritual life. So it is very important for every mu'min to abstain from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sins are categorized into two categories, major and minor, kabira and sagira. The kabira and sagira have been divided into two categories for academic purposes, not for practical purposes. As far as practical purpose is concerned, one should abstain from a minor sin as much as he would abstain from a major sin. These sins have not been categorized into two categories, so a person can sit down and say, well, this is major, so I should stay away from it, and this is minor, so it doesn't really matter. No, it is for academic purposes. That when a person commits a major sin, his sin will not be forgiven without tawbah. And when a person commits a minor sin, then that sin will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the barakah of another ibadah without tawbah. So it is for academic purposes such as this one, one example I gave you. It is not for practical purposes that, look, this is a list of major sins, this is a list of minor sins. As far as major sins are concerned, stay away from it. And minor sins are concerned, it doesn't really matter. No, it is not for that. In fact, the ulama defining the major and minor sins. Have mentioned this point that what is a major sin? This is major sin. This is major. This is major. Defining major. One definition is that when a person looks down upon a minor sin, when a person belittles a minor sin, oh, it's only a minor sin. Belittles. When a person begins to think that this particular disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is insignificant, minor, sagira, chota guna, it's only a small sin, then for the whole ummah, this sin is minor, but for this person, this sin has become major. So as soon as you begin to belittle a sin, look down upon a sin, as soon as you begin to think that this particular sin is small, it doesn't really matter, then that sin becomes a major sin. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma has said, kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa kabiratun. Every sin from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, be it in the category of major or be it in the category of minor, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the eyes of a Muslim, it should be major. Why? Because disobedience to Allah. Disobedience to Allah. How can it be minor? Disobedience to Allah is always major. So I urge each and every brother, each and every sister to make this the goal of their lives. That we want to abstain from every disobedience to Allah. From today until we breathe our last, inshallah we will not commit a single sin. We are not Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. We are not immune from sins. We are not masoom. So if not today, tomorrow, if not tomorrow, after a week, if not after a week, after a month, if not after a month, then after 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, we will make a mistake. We will commit a sin. But a mu'min does not make a program of committing a sin. A mu'min doesn't make a program that after Isha, I'm going to watch a film. Tomorrow, I am going to gamble. Saturday, I'm going to buy lottery tickets. A mu'min does not make program of sins. A mu'min is overcome by circumstances, situations. He is overcome by nafs and shaitan, and he finds himself committing a sin, and as soon as he commits a sin, and when the circumstances changes, when shaitan moves away, when nafs moves away, he immediately realizes that I have done wrong. I have done wrong. Tawbah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. The people of taqwa, the mu'mineen, the people of iman are those who, when they commit a sin, be it major or minor, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that they continue committing sin after sin, sin after sin, sin after sin, sin after sin. There are so many of us who watch films and who have been watching films for years and years. But never after watching a film, during watching the film, before watching the film, when we are in the masjid, when we are in Al-Masjidul Haram, when we are in Al-Masjidul Nabawi, never does this thought come in our hearts and minds that I am filthy and I am doing something which is filthy and I need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. No, we have no hatred for sin. We have no disliking for disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the condition of a mu'min. A condition of a mu'min, he dislikes sins. He abhors disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sees disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a qiyamah for himself. That I have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So friends, make a firm resolution that inshallah we will never commit a sin. The sin will take place. Because we are not Anbiya alayhimus salam. But in our minds, the resolution at all times should be that I will never commit a sin. I will never disobey my Allah. And when overcome by nafs, overcome by shaitan, overcome by circumstances, overcome by filthy environment, filthy company, we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as soon as we realize, we should repent again. We should repent again. Same resolution. And this cycle of taqwa tawba, taqwa tawba, taqwa tawba should continue until we breathe our last. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashik na chode. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi. So today we are all making a resolution that I will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I love him and he loves me. Or I want to love him because he loves me. Despite all our filth, Allah loves us. And because he loves me, I also want to love him. And in order to love him, in order to acquire his attention and love, I have to stay away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make this resolution, but tomorrow we commit a sin. So we have broken this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. So we join that relationship again by making tawbah and by coming on taqwa. And that remains for another week. We commit another sin and we break that relationship with Allah again. We make tawbah and through tawbah we join that relationship again. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi. Even if throughout our lives we continue becoming unsuccessful on our path to taqwa and we keep breaking taqwa, breaking taqwa, breaking taqwa. If we break taqwa, we should join it with tawbah. If we break our love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should begin to love him again and join it with tawbah. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashik na chode. Even if throughout his life, if he is unsuccessful, he should never become hopeless. He should continue striving, 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 striving. A time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him his beloved. When Allah will make him his wali. When Allah will make him his special friend. When Allah will grant him his special nearness. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi. Bahar hal koshish to aashik na chode. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. Jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. If this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of love breaks 100 times, then join it 100 times with tawbah. If it breaks 1,000 times, then join it 1,000 times through tawbah. If it breaks 100,000 times, then join it 100,000 times with the glue of tawbah. With the glue of tawbah, join it. Because as soon as a person repents, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it takes a person 1 hour to commit a particular sin. 2 hours, 3 hours to watch a film. So to break his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 3 hours he remains engaged in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not demand an ibadat of 3 hours. It takes a few seconds, a few moments, regret in the heart, sincerity in the heart, a firm resolution in the heart that I will not do this again, and to say to Allah, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah forgive me. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamalla dhamba lahu. The one who repents from sins is like that person who has never committed a sin. On the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when people will be resurrected, then those people who had committed sins in this world, and thereafter they had repented, when they will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the only person who will remember that this person had committed this sin and thereafter he repented. The book of deeds will not have this record. The angels will not be able to remember. And everything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is PID for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we commit a mistake in this building, then the four walls of this masjid will witness on the day of Qiyamah. This fan will witness against us on the day of Qiyamah. This tube light will witness against us on the day of Qiyamah. The trees, the sun, the moon, anything that sees us, the carpet, everything will be given the ability to speak in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything will witness against us on the day of Qiyamah. My friends, when we sincerely repent, the only person who will remember on the day of Qiyamah that at one time we were guilty and thereafter we had repented will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us live our lives with this cycle, inshallah. Make a firm resolution, my friends. Taqwa and tawbah. Taqwa and tawbah. Wattaqu Allah la'allakum tuflihun. Live your life with taqwa and you will become successful. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Live your life with tawbah and you will become successful. Taqwa tawbah, taqwa tawbah. Taqwa is the path to success. When a person leaves taqwa and commits a sin, he leaves. he leaves the path of the success. And as soon as he repents, he is back on the path of success. So taqwa and tawbah are the two things which leads a person to success, to Jannah, to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to wilaya, to the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was saying, friends, that when a person commits a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a dot on the heart of this person. When he commits another sin, he does not repent. When he commits another sin, another dot appears. When he commits another sin, another dot appears. These dots continue to appear on our hearts. These dots do not appear on our faces. These dots do not appear on our foreheads. When we wake up in the morning, we don't perform Fajr Salah. But when we meet our friends, they have the same respect for us. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not disclose our sins. We don't perform Zohar Salah, people still respect us, they still love us. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not disclose our sin. He conceals. When people praise us, my friends, they are not praising me and you or my qualities or your qualities. In reality, they are praising the quality of Allah. And that quality is Sattar. He is the one who conceals our faults. He does not let other people see our faults. So this also is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when people see our goodnesses only, and they are unable to see our evil, this is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are able to see the goodnesses of people only, and we do not see their negative points, this is also a ni'mat of Allah upon us. So when people see goodness in us only, and they are unable to see our evil, that is also a ni'mat. And another ni'mat is that when we look at people, and we can see good, but not evil. If we see evil, we just brush it aside. Oh, it's only one mistake, but he is a very pious person, mashallah. We don't focus on the negative aspects of people's lives. We focus on the positive aspects of people's lives. This is also a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we have good thoughts regarding people. We feel positive regarding people. Why, my friends? Because the when we look at the faults, then the number of faults that we are able to see in our lives, we will never be able to see the same number of faults in somebody else's life. Because somebody else's life will be in front of my eyes for how many hours? 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours. Maybe 1 week, maybe 1 month. 1 month we are working together and for 1 year we are separate. During the day for 8 hours we are working together and for another 16 hours we are separate. But as far as we are concerned, our life is in front of us, external and internal, all our qualities, good qualities, bad qualities. They remain with us all the time, 24 hours. So if we focus on our faults, the mashayikh teaches, our sharia also teaches, that when we look at other people, we should always look at the good aspects. And when we look at ourselves, then we should look at the negative aspects in our lives, so we are able to rectify those negative aspects. If we look at ourselves, my friends, and if we try to look at the faults that lie within our lives, we will find that there is no one more faulty than myself. Nathi hal ki jab hame apni khabar rahe dekhte logon ke aib o hunar padi apni buraiyon par jo nazar to jahan mein koi bura na raha nathi hal ki jab hame apni khabar for as long as I was unaware of my own faults rahe dekhte logon ke aib o hunar I continued looking at the faults and the goodnesses of other people padi apni buraiyon par jo nazar. One day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the tawfiq and I said to myself that let me look at my life. And when I saw my life, to jahan mein koi bura na raha. There was no one more worse than me. I was the worst of all the people. Because the number of faults that we are able to see in our lives, my friends, we will not be able to see the same number in the lives of other people. So alhamdulillah, we are being showered continually by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with so many favors. One favor is that people always see good in us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals our faults. Another favor is the Quran. The Quran. Allahu Akbar. Al-Quranu ahabbu ilallahi minas samawati wal-ard. Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this great favor to us. And mashallah, through the barakah of this Quran, so many other favors come into existence. Quran in itself is a favor. Then the recitation of the Quran, a separate favor. Then the meanings of the Quran, a separate favor. And thereafter, a person who memorizes the Quran and becomes a hafiz of the Quran, another favor. And then this hafiz of the Quran does not remain hafiz only. He becomes a sahib of the Quran or the hamil of the Quran. Another favor. Allahu Akbar. Sahib of the Quran, hamil of the Quran. All these are favors associated to the Quran. So we need to recognize the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one great favor is the favor of Quran. And let us all associate ourselves to the Quran. Let us all attach ourselves to the Quran. The young student of this madrasa, the young boy, an individual of the ummah who will be completing his Quran and he will be putting the whole Quran to memory today, he will be soon a hafiz of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him a hafiz of the Quran until he breathes his last. And may Allah, people become hafiz of the Quran in this day and age, but they don't remain hafiz of the Quran. To become hafiz of the Quran does not bring any virtue. To become hafiz of the Quran and to remain hafiz of the Quran until one stands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, he will be worthy of virtue. So the huffaz who memorize the Quran, who have memorized the Quran, they need to keep the Quran to memory until the day of Qiyamah. They need to continue reciting. And they also need to become sahib of the Quran and hamil of the Quran. In our language, we say, mashallah, he is hafiz of the Quran. Mashallah, he is hafiz of the Quran. Mashallah, he is hafiz of the Quran. Hafiz of the Quran. But in the ahadith, we find no virtue for the hafiz of the Quran. No virtue for the hafiz of the Quran. In the ahadith, we find virtue for sahib of the Quran and the hamil of the Quran, not for the hafiz of the Quran. The one who memorizes the Quran, no virtue. One who memorizes the Quran and becomes sahib of the Quran, he becomes hamil of the Quran. So we need to understand, especially the huffaz, especially the young boy who is completing the Quran today, those boys who are becoming huffaz of the Quran, those who have already been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are already huffaz of the Quran, we need to understand the difference between hafiz of the Quran and sahib and hamil of the Quran. The ahadith mentions sahib, yuqalu li sahibil Quran. Yuqalu li sahibil Quran. It will be said to the sahib of the Quran. Iqra wartaqi, read and climb the steps of Jannah. Hamilul Quran, hamilul liwa'il hamd yawm al-qiyamah. Hamilul Quran. Hamilul Quran. The virtue is for Hamilul Quran. Hamilul Quran, Ahlul Quran, Sahibul Quran. So the people of the Quran, the companions of the Quran, and those carrying the Quran. So the person who has memorized the Quran, no. The person who is carrying the Quran, the person who is the companion of the Quran, and the person of the Quran, Ahlul Quran, whom Ahlullahi wa khassatuhu, the people of the Quran, whom Ahlullah, they are the people of Allah. And they are the special people of Allah. Who? Ahlul Quran, the people of the Quran. Yuqalu li sahibil Quran, it will be said to the sahibul Quran. Iqra wartaqi, read and climb the steps of Jannah. Hamilul Quran, hamilul liwa'il Islam. The carrier of the Quran is the torch bearer of Islam. So all the virtues are for sahibul Quran. Sahibul Quran, Ahlul Quran, hamilul Quran. Sahibul Quran and Ahlul Quran, the companion of the Quran. The companion, who is a companion? The one who becomes a friend to somebody, and the one who becomes an associate of somebody, and the one who remains his associate throughout his life. Huh? If somebody becomes my friend, and if I become somebody else's friend, if I become his companion, and if he becomes my companion during the Umrah trip, then I will say, he was my companion when we went for Umrah. I will not say, we are companion. He was my companion. He was my companion during the trip to Pakistan. He was my companion during the trip for Hajj. He was my companion during the trip to India. He was. Why? Because we went together, we came back together. So we stayed together only during that journey. After that we separated. So when a student memorizes the Quran, and thereafter he does not read the Quran, and he pushes the Quran away, he moves himself away from the Quran, and the Quran does not remain in his life, then he also will say, I was once a hafiz of the Quran. I was once a sahib of the Quran, companion of the Quran. I am no more a companion of the Quran. Hamilul Quran, the one carrying the Quran, carrying the Quran. If I am carrying something, I will say, I am carrying books. And when I put the books down, nobody will say, I am carrying books. I put the books down. So Hamilul Quran, the one who memorizes the Quran and keeps the Quran with him until he breathes his last. Sahibul Quran, the one who becomes the companion of the Quran and he remains the companion of the Quran until he breathes his last. All the virtues are for Sahibul Quran and Hamilul Quran. So Quran is a very great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the blessing of Quran can be seen in various forms. One form is a student memorizing the Quran. Because after memorizing the Quran, this person is able to progress and become Sahibul Quran and become Hamilul Quran. And Sahibul Quran, Hamilul Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him in this world and also in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us, our children, our progenies, our families, our associates, our well-wishers, Hamilul Quran. Allah make all of us Sahibul Quran. Allah ta'ala include all of us in Ahlul Quran. So let us look a bit more closely at this title, Sahibul Quran, Hamilul Quran. Who is Sahibul Quran? Who is Hamilul Quran? Sahibul Quran or Hamilul Quran is that person who fulfills the rights of the Quran. And what are the rights of the Quran? Number one, to recite the Quran with tajweed. Number two, to understand the Quran. And number three, to practice the Quran. These are the main three rights of the Quran. In order to become Sahibul Quran and Hamilul Quran, we need to continually recite the Quran with tajweed. Continually means daily one juz, daily half a juz, daily two juz, daily three juz, daily 15 juz, daily the whole Quran. Whatever we are able to recite, our mashayikh and our ulama, they teach us, they guide us, and they say that non-huffaz should read one juz daily with tajweed. And the huffaz should read three juz daily, majority of which should be in salah. Majority of which should be in salah. Now if a person who becomes a hafid recites three juz of the Quran daily and majority in salah, he will never be able to forget the Quran. So the non-huffaz should recite one, the huffaz should recite three. At this moment, because maybe we are busy or lazy, and we are unable to find time to recite three juz, the huffaz, or non-huffaz one juz, then let us begin with three quarter and two, or let us begin with half and one, or let us begin with quarter, at least quarter, or let us begin with one ruku at least. But the non-huffaz make a firm resolution that from today we will recite no less than one ruku on a daily basis. Daily, inshallah, we will recite one ruku, one ruku, one ruku, one ruku on a daily basis. And slowly, slowly we will increase. We will recite one ruku daily and we will say to Allah that, oh Allah, despite all my shortcomings and despite all my laziness, you have granted me the tawfiq to recite one ruku from your Quran. I am being grateful to you. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. This one ruku will become two, and these two rukus will become three, and these three rukus will become four, and these four rukus will become five. I have seen people who were non-huffaz. In my masjid, in Masjid-e-Noor, there was a person who was a non-hafiz. He passed away, and a very pious person, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status in Jannatul Firdaus, very affectionate to me. He would complete, not a hafiz, a layman, not alim, not qari, not hafiz, but he would complete his Quran third day or fourth day. third day or fourth day. I used to see him before Salat with Quran, after Salat with Quran, between Asr and Maghrib with Quran, after Fajr till about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock with Quran. All the time Quran, 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 Quran. So this is our first responsibility. We need to recite the Quran regularly, daily. Little but daily. Nan Huffaz one juz and Huffaz at least three juz. And with Tajweed. Try to get in touch with Huffaz, Ulama, Qurra, who can recite that Quran with Tajweed correctly and learn. And we need to do this simultaneously, both things together. So recitation of the Quran, number one. Number two, we need to understand the Quran by sitting in the company of the Ulama. Those who are able to explain Quran correctly to us. Those who have dedicated their lives for ilm. If we need advice and guidance on medicine, we go to doctors. If we need advice and guidance on law, we go to solicitors, barristers. Why? Because they had dedicated their lives to learn medicine, to learn law. So there is a group of people who are called ulama, who had dedicated their lives also to understand the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we need to understand the ahadith, if we need to understand the Quran, should we not go to these people who have dedicated their lives towards the Quran? So we need to understand the Quran through reliable sources. Reliable sources. The ulama, the experts, those who have authority in the ulum of Sharia. And if we want to read and understand Quran, then we get in touch with such expert and reliable ulama, and under their supervision, we read the tafasir and the commentaries of the Quran written by reliable ulama. So we understand the message of the Quran. And number three, we practice the message of the Quran. We practice. The person who continually on a daily basis recites the Quran, he on a regular basis, once a month or once a week, tries to understand the message of the Quran. And thereafter he tries his utmost to follow the teachings of the Quran, and wherever he slips or makes a mistake, he repents and he begins practicing again. This person is Sahib of the Quran. This person is Hamil of the Quran. Now, the Sahib of the Quran can vary. First of all, we can make two categories of Sahib-e-Quran. One is that Sahib-e-Quran, and one is that Hamil-e-Quran, who has memorized the Quran. After memorizing the Quran, he regularly reads, he understands, and he follows. And there is another Sahibul Quran, and there is another Hamilul Quran, who is not Hafiz of the Quran. He is not Hafiz of the Quran. But he reads the Quran regularly. And he tries to understand the Quran. And he also follows the message of the Quran. He is also Sahibul Quran. He is also Hamilul Quran. But of a lesser degree. So one is that Sahib-e-Quran who fulfills all the rites of the Quran whilst he has memorized the whole Quran. This is Sahib-e-Quran and Hamil-e-Quran of a higher category. And you have another Sahib-e-Quran and Hamil-e-Quran who has not memorized the Quran, but he reads the Quran regularly with Tajweed, and he also understands the Quran, tries to understand the message of the Quran, and whatever he understands, he practices. This is also Sahib-e-Quran. This is also Hamil-e-Quran, but of a lesser degree. Now you have somebody who is Hafiz of the Quran, who has memorized the Quran, but thereafter he forgets. He is neither Hafiz of the Quran nor Sahib-e-Quran. Memorizes the Quran, but thereafter he forgets. He is neither Hafiz of the Quran nor Sahib of the Quran nor Hamil of the Quran. You have another person who has memorized the Quran and who tries his utmost to keep it to memory, because Allah has granted him photographic memory, so without even reciting, he does not forget the Quran. And until he breathes his last, he remembers the Quran. But he does not recite the Quran. He does not understand the Quran. And he does not practice the commands of the Quran. He may be a Hafiz of the Quran, but he is not Sahib-e-Quran, he is not Hamil-e-Quran. So we need to try to become Sahib-e-Quran and Hamil-e-Quran. Those of you who have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the blessing of being able to memorize the Quran, please fulfill the rites of the Quran. Fulfill the rites of the Quran and become the Hamil-e-Quran or Sahib-e-Quran of the higher category. And those of you who have not been able to memorize the Quran until now, if you are able to memorize the Quran now as well. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, rahimahullah ta'ala, memorized 2/3 of the Quran at the age of 70. At the age of 70, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, rahmatullahi alayhi, memorized 2/3 of the Quran, 20 juz at the age of 70. Maulana Qasim Nanotvi, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he graduated as an alim, he was not a hafiz of the Quran. And he was traveling towards Haramain Sharifain, and Ramadan dawned upon the people, and they realized on the 29th of Shaban that there is no hafiz in the ship, no hafiz to lead the Taraweeh. So the Taraweeh will take place from Alam Tara. But he was very pious, Maulana Qasim Nanutvi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. He may be in his 20s or 30s. So he said, no, this will not happen. This one, we cannot recite Alam Tara in Taraweeh. No, this is the month of Ramadan. And Taraweeh, we should recite the whole Quran. Who will lead the Taraweeh? He said, I will lead the Taraweeh. And daily, he began memorizing the Quran. First 4 days, he must have memorized 1 1/4, 1 1/4, 1 1/4, 1 1/4. And thereafter, 1 juz, 1 juz, 1 juz, 1 juz. In 29 days, he became hafiz of the Quran. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. We have made Quran easy to remember. Is there anybody who desires to remember? So even at the age of 70, 80, people can become hafiz of the Quran. People have become hafiz of the Quran in 3 days only. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala, he came into the company of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and his father said, Muhammad wants to become a faqih. Muhammad wishes to become a great alim, and it is my desire also. Please enroll him in your class. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said, is he hafiz of the Quran? The father said, no, he is not hafiz of the Quran. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says that the condition for enrollment is hifz. So you take your son away, he is still young. Give him an opportunity, 1 year, 2 years, let him memorize the Quran. And when he memorizes the Quran, you bring him, inshallah, you will make him a faqih. When Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi returned with his father after 1 week, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said, did I not tell you last week that make him hafiz first and then bring him? The father said, Hazrat, he has memorized the whole Quran in 1 week. In 1 week, he is a hafiz now. Give him admission and make him a faqih. So Quran, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ. So those of us who are not hufaz of the Quran, let us make intention that inshallah, we will also become hufaz of the Quran. And at least begin with Surah Yasin, because that is the heart of the Quran. Memorize the heart of the Quran. It was the desire of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who said, that it is my desire that each and every follower of mine memorizes Surah Yasin. Let us make a resolution to fulfill the desire of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you are unable to complete the whole Quran, at least you will be able to comfort yourselves by saying that at least I have memorized the whole heart, and the body depends on the heart, so I have the whole Quran in my head, alhamdulillah. So memorize Surah Yasin, begin with Surah Yasin, and thereafter try to memorize as much as you can, as much as you can, as much as you can. And if you are unable to, then at least read the Quran regularly, try to understand the message of the Quran through the ulama, and number 3, practice the Quran, inshallah, you will also become sahib-e-Quran and hamil-e-Quran. Now I am concluding, if we become sahib-e-Quran, and if we become hamil-e-Quran, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate us in this world and also in the hereafter. Allah will elevate us in this world and in the hereafter. If the ummah as a whole becomes hamil-e-Quran and sahib-e-Quran, Allah will elevate the whole ummah. And the ummah will overpower all the other nations. Like it happened in the time of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain were able to overpower all the other nations because each and every Sahabi was hamil-e-Quran and sahib-e-Quran. So the ummah collectively was sahib-e-Quran and hamil-e-Quran. And during the time of Imam Mahdi and Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, again, each and every individual of the ummah will become hamil-e-Quran and sahib-e-Quran. So they will also overpower all the other nations. And if we collectively do not become hamil-e-Quran and sahib-e-Quran, and individually if we become hamil-e-Quran and sahib-e-Quran, for example, if I become hamil-e-Quran and sahib-e-Quran, and all of you neglect Quran, then Allah will elevate me. And if I neglect Quran, and this brother becomes hamil-e-Quran, sahib-e-Quran, Allah will elevate him. Despite my disgrace, Allah will elevate him. If the father becomes Hamil-e-Quran and Sahib-e-Quran, and the sons neglect, father will be elevated and the sons will be degraded. And if the sons become Hamil-e-Quran and Sahib-e-Quran, and if the father neglects the Quran, the sons will be elevated and the father will be disgraced. Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka. Even on the day of Qiyamah, the Quran will be either in your favor or against you. It is through the Quran, my friends, we will be elevated. Inna Allah Ta'ala yarfa'u bihadhal kitabi aqwama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the status of many a people through this book. Those people who fulfill the rights of this book and become hamil al-Quran and sahib al-Quran, Allah elevates them. Allah elevates them in this very world. Allah elevates them in this very world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hamil al-Quran, hamil rayat al-Islam. I am concluding now. Hamil al-Quran, hamil rayat al-Islam. The Hamil-e-Quran is the torch-bearer of Islam. Man akramahu, faqad akram Allah. One who honors him will honor Allah. We have been instructed to honor the Hamil of the Quran. One who honors him will honor Allah. Wa man ahanahu, fa'alayhi lanatullah. And one who disgraces him, may the lanat and the curse of Allah be upon him. Allah will grant him honor in this world. Allah will grant Hamil-e-Quran, Sahib-e-Quran in this world. Allah will grant Hamil-e-Quran, Sahib-e-Quran, after he departs from this world. His ruh, his soul has departed, and his corpses. Allah will grant honor to the corpses as well. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala says that after the battle of Uhud, for certain reasons, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the Sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain that two will be buried, two Sahaba will be buried in one grave. So approximately 35 graves were dug and two Sahaba were being buried together. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come near the grave and he would find two bodies lying on the side of the grave. Now, to put these two corpses of the shuhada in the grave, he used to ask, أَيُّهُمَا أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ. Which one of the two has memorized more verses of the Quran? So the Sahaba would point towards a particular person out of the two. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, put him in the grave first. Give him this honor, put him in the grave, he should go first. Why? Because he has memorized more Quran than the other. Sahib, the corpses are being honored in this world. And in the grave, إِذَا مَاتَ حَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ. When the Hamilul Quran departs from this world, and when he is put in the grave, أَوْحَلَّهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs that portion of the earth where he is buried, and لَا تَأْكُلِ لَحْمَهُ. Do not devour his flesh. Do not touch his flesh. He should not rot. This body should remain as it is until the day of Qiyamah. That portion of the earth says to Allah, فَتَقُولُ الْأَرْضُ يَا إِلَهِ. O my Ilah, O my Allah, كَيْفَ أَكُلُ لَحْمَهُ وَكَلَامُكَ فِي جَوْفِهِ. How can I devour the flesh of this person when your kalam is in his body? How can I devour the honor in the grave? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Ya Abu Huraira, ta'allamil Qur'an wa 'allimhu an-nas. O Abu Huraira, learn the Qur'an and teach it to others. Learn the Qur'an, teach it to others. تعلم القرآن وعلمه ولا تزال كذلك حتى يأتيك الموت. And you continue in this manner until you breathe your last. So remain a hamil a Quran until you die. What will Allah give you? ولا تزال كذلك حتى يأتيك الموت. فإن أتاك الموت وأنت كذلك. If you remain a hamil of the Quran and the sahib of the Quran until you breathe your last, what will Allah grant you? زارت الملائكة قبرك كما يزار البيت العتيق. Then the angels will visit your grave in large number. In such large number, in that number, which visit the Baytullah in Makkah Mukarramah. The angels will visit your grave. On the day of Qiyamah, يُقَالُ لِسَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اِقْرَى وَرْتَكِ. It will be said to sahib of the Qur'an, that read the Qur'an and climb the steps of Jannah. Climb the, we find in certain riwayat, that the statuses in Jannah will be more than 6,000 according to the number of the ayat of the Quran. Iqra wartaqi warattil kama kunta turattilu fid dunya. Read and climb the steps of Jannah and read it with tartil and tajweed as you used to do in the world. Fa inna manzilaka inda akhiri ayatin taqrauha. Where you stop reciting, that is your abode in Jannah. And as a and through the barakah of the sahib al-Quran and hamil al-Quran, the parents will be elevated on the day of Qiyamah. Man qara al Quran wa amila bima fihi. One who reads the Quran and in other narrations, and thereafter he memorizes, and thereafter he practices, so he becomes hamil of the Quran and sahib Quran. Ulbi sawalidahu tajan yawm al Qiyamah. Then his parents will be crowned on the day of Qiyamah. And the brightness of this crown that will be placed on the head of the parents will be so much that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Dawuhu ahsanu min dawi shamsi law kanat fi buyutikum." If the sun was to come down in your small house, how much brightness would you experience? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The crown will have more brightness than your house if the sun was to come in your house." And further, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if this is the condition of the parents of the hamil-e Quran and the hafiz-e Quran, فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِالَّذِي عَمِلَ بِهَذَا, then what about the condition and the honor of the person who had memorized the Quran and who had become the hamil of the Quran and the sahib of the Quran? And not only his parents, my friends, مَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ, one who reads the Quran, فَاسْتَظْهَرَهُ, and memorizes the Quran, فَأَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَحَرَّمَ حَرَامَهُ, he understands the Quran and he practices the Quran, he stays away from haram, he carries out the halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala washaffahu fi asharat adkhalahu Allahu al-jannah. Allah will grant him entry into Jannah. Washaffahu fi asharatim min ahli baytihi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that find 10 people from your household. Kulluhum qad wajabat lahumun nar, upon whom Jahannam has become wajib, and intercede for them through the barakah of your being hamil-e Quran and amil-e Quran. I will grant entry to such 10 people into Jannah today. So friends, let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah from today we will strive to become hamil of the Quran. Amil of the Quran. And we will try to become sahib of the Quran. And in order to do that, we need to do how many things? 3 things. Read the Quran regularly with tajweed. Number 2, try to understand the message of the Quran under the supervision of the ulama. And number 3, practice the Quran. And wherever we find difficulty in practicing certain injunctions of the Quran, we refer to the ulama, we refer to the mashayikh, seek their guidance. If we are able to do this, my friends, we will see honor again. Wo zamane mein muazzaz the musalma hokar hum khar huye tareeke Quran hokar. They were honored, the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alaihim ajmain, they were honored in the eyes of the whole creation. Why? Because they were musalma. And who is musalma? The one who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hamil of the Quran, is sahib of the Quran. So they were sahib-e Quran and hamil-e Quran. So they became mu'azzaz and honored. Or hum khar huye, we became disgraced. Tariq-e Quran hokar, because we have not remained sahib-e Quran, we have not remained hamil-e Quran, we have become tariq-e Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from remaining tariq-e Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to become hamil-i-Qur'an and sahib-i-Qur'an. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
A'udhu billahi shaytanu wajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة، اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة، اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها، يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. نستغفرك ربنا ونسألك التوبة، وأصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان، واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا، اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء. اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت عالم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر، لا إله إلا أنت. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. يا فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولينا في الدنيا والآخرة. توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين. توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين. توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام، ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اذهب بالباس رب الناس، اشف أنت الشافي، لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك، شفاء لا يغادر سقما ولا مرضا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة تعالى اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمالنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهلي ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أنس وحشتنا في قبورنا اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جنات النعيم اللهم بارك لنا فيما آتيتنا وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا اللهم بارك لهم فيما رزقتهم واغفر لهم وارحمهم اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم اكفي في قلوبنا رجاءك واقطع رجاءنا عمن سواك حتى لا نرجو أحدا غيرك حتى لا نرجو أحدا غيرك حتى لا نرجو أحدا غيرك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين رحمك معاملة فرما كرمك معاملة فرما يسر سهولك معاملة فرما عفو عافيتك معاملة فرما فضل عنايتك معاملة فرما حفظ أمانك معاملة فرما هم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما هم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما هم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما صغیرہ کبیرہ ہر قسم کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما رات کی اندھیریوں میں کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دن کے اجالے میں کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما چھپ چھپ کر کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما علن اعلان کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما جان بوجھ کر کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما غلطی سے کیے ہوئے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما دے الہ العالمین ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما دے الہ العالمین اپنے فضل سے اپنی رحمت سے ہمارے ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما دے یا رحم الراحمین ہم خطا ہی خطا ہے تو عطا ہی عطا ہے تو رحمان ہے رحیم ہے تو رؤوف ہے تو ودود ہے تو غفور ہے تو غافر ہے تو غفار ہے تو مانگنے والوں کو پسند کرتا ہے الہ العالمین تو معاف کرنے کو پسند کرتا ہے الہ العالمین ہم فقیروں کو معاف فرما دے ہم گنہگاروں کو معاف فرما دے ہم روسیاہوں کو معاف فرما دے ہم سیاہ کاروں کو معاف فرما دے ہم نا اہلوں کو غیر مستحقوں کو معاف فرما دے الہ العالمین ہم اقراری مجرم ہیں ہمارے جسم کا روح روح تیری نافرمانی میں مبتلا ہے الہ العالمین ہم بڑے نافرمان ہیں الہ العالمین معاف فرما دے معاف فرما دے معاف فرما دے الہ العالمین رحمت کی چادر میں ہم سب کو لپیٹ لے الہ العالمین رحمت کی بارشیں برسا دے الہ العالمین ہمارے دلوں کو دھو دے الہ العالمین ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما دے ہمارے دلوں کو پاکیزگی عطا فرما دے الہ العالمین ہمارے دلوں کو تیری یاد سے منور فرما دے الہ العالمین ہمارے دلوں کو فضائل سے اور الہ العالمین اخلاق حمیدہ سے آراستہ فرما دے الہ العالمین ہمارے دلوں کو تیری معرفت سے منور فرما دے ہمارے دلوں کو تیرے تعلق سے منور فرما دے ہمارے دلوں کو الہ العالمین تیری محبت سے لبریز فرما دے یا رب الرحیم تیرے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی محبت سے لبریز فرما دے خدا نزید ہماری آلودگیوں کو ختم فرما دے، سیاہیوں کو ختم فرما دے، خدا نزید ہمیں اپنا بنا دے، خدا نزید ہمیں اپنا بنا دے، خدا نزید ہمیں اپنا بنا دے، خدا نزید اپنی مرضی کے کام کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، خدا نزید تجھے ناراض کرنے والے ہر کام سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، خدا نزید گناہوں سے بچا لے، گناہوں کی نفرت دلوں میں پیدا فرما دے، خدا نزید نیکیوں کی رغبت نصیب فرما، طاعت کی رغبت نصیب فرما، فرما برداری کی رغبت نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین سجدے کی، رکوع کی، قیام کی، نماز کی، روزوں کی، تلاوت کی، ذکر کی، عبادت کی لذت سے ہم کو روشناس فرما دے، یا رب العالمین گناہوں کی جھوٹی لذت سے نفرت نصیب فرما دے، الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین شیطان اور نفس کی چنگل سے ہمیں نجات عطا فرما دے، الہ العالمین ہم ان کے غلام بن چکے ہیں، الہ العالمین رات دن تیری نافرمانی کرتے ہیں، ان کی فرمانبرداری کرتے ہیں، الہ العالمین اس غلامی سے نجات عطا فرما کر اپنی غلامی میں داخل فرما دے، اپنی غلامی میں داخل فرما دے، الہ العالمین ہدایت کو عام فرما دے، ہدایت کو عام فرما دے، دنیا کے کونے کونے تک ہدایت کی ہواؤں کو چلا دے، اس روئے زمین پر بسنے والے ہر انسان کو تیرا بنا لے، تیرا ولی بنا لے، الہ العالمین تیرے قبضے قدرت سے کوئی چیز باہر نہیں ہے، الہ العالمین رحمتیں نازل فرما دے، نصرتیں نازل فرما دے، برکتیں نازل فرما دے، ہدایتیں نازل فرما دے، الہ العالمین معرفت کو عام فرما دے، تیرے تعلق کو عام فرما دے، ولایت خاصہ کو عام فرما دے، تزکیہ کو عام فرما دے، اسلام کو عام فرما دے، علم کو عام فرما دے، عمل کو عام فرما دے، الہ العالمین دین کی خدمت کو عام فرما دے، دعوت کو عام فرما دے، تبلیغ کو عام فرما دے، یا رب الرحیمین اچھی اچھی اخلاق کو عام فرما دے، برائی کو مٹا دے، رذائل کو مٹا دے، الہ العالمین افتراق انتشار کو مٹا دے، الہ العالمین اسلام دشمن سازشوں کو ختم فرما دے، یا رب الرحیمین مسلمانوں کو اپنے دین کی قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما، غیر مسلموں کو الہ العالمین اسلام کی خوبیوں سے آشنا فرما دے، یا رب الرحیمین وہ بھی تیرے ہی بندے، الہ العالمین انہیں بھی جہنم سے بچا لے، الہ العالمین انہیں بھی ہدایت عطا فرما دے، الہ العالمین انہیں بھی ہدایت عطا فرما دے، الہ العالمین مسلمانوں کو اپنے دین کی قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما، الہ العالمین تو نے مسلمانوں کو کتنی قیمتی قیمتی نعمتیں عطا فرمائی ہے، تیرے الہ العالمین قرآن عطا کیا ہے، الہ العالمین تیرا محبوب دین اسلام عطا کیا ہے، ایمان عطا کیا ہے، تیرے محبوب نبی کی ذات عطا کی ہے، الہ العالمین ان کی پیاری پیاری سنتیں عطا کی ہے، یا رب العالمین مسلمان نا قدری کی زندگی گزار رہا ہے، اسی نا قدری کی وجہ سے مارا مارا پھر رہا ہے، پوری دنیا میں پٹ رہا ہے، ذلت کی زندگی گزار رہا ہے، الہ العالمین اس ذلت سے نکلنے کے لیے ان نعمتوں کی قدر ضروری ہے، الہ العالمین ان نعمتوں کی قدر دانی کی توفیق عطا فرما، الہ العالمین مسلمانوں کو سیر و سکر بنا دے، ایک اور نیک بنا دے، اختلاف اور انتشار سے بچا لے، اختلافات سے بچا لے، نفرت سے حفاظت فرما، حسد سے حفاظت فرما، کینے سے بغض سے حفاظت فرما، بخل سے حفاظت فرما، نفرت سے حفاظت فرما، لڑائیوں سے جھگڑوں سے حفاظت فرما، الہ العالمین ایسی آنکھیں عطا فرما دے جو لوگوں کی اچھائیوں کو دیکھے، الہ العالمین لوگوں کی برائیوں کو دیکھنے والی آنکھ، الہ العالمین اس سے ہماری حفاظت فرما دے، یا رب العالمین اس نے زن کا پہلو نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین بدگمانی سے بچا لے، الہ العالمین دل کے جتنے روگ ہیں ان سب سے بچا لے، برائی سے بچا لے، تکبر سے بچا لے، کبر سے بچا لے، عجب سے بچا لے، الہ العالمین گھمنڈ سے بچا لے، یا رب العالمین دوسروں کو حقارت کی نظر سے دیکھنے سے بچا لے، یا رب العالمین نماز کے اہتمام کی توفیق عطا فرما، قرآن سے وابستگی عطا فرما، ہم سب کو حامل قرآن بنا لے، ہم سب کو صاحب قرآن بنا لے، یا رب العالمین ہم سب کو دنیا اور آخرت کی ہر خیر عطا فرما، دنیا اور آخرت کے ہر شر سے بچا لے، مسلمانوں نے عالم کے حال پہ رحم فرما، الہ العالمین مسلمانوں نے عالم کے حال پہ رحم فرما، الہ العالمین مسلمانوں نے عالم کے حال پہ رحم فرما، ممالک اسلامیہ کے حال پہ رحم فرما، انہیں خیر خواہ ہمدرد اچھے ایمان اور دین سے محبت رکھنے والے حکمران نصیب فرما، مسلمانوں کو دین سے وابستگی عطا فرما، الہ العالمین دنیا کی محبت کو نکال دے، الہ العالمین دنیا کی لذت کی محبت کو نکال دے، ناجائز لذتوں کی محبت کو نکال دے، فکر آخرت عطا فرما، دنیا کی بے ثباتی دلوں میں قائم فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین، اے ارحم الراحمین، اے رحم الراحمین مقامات مقدسہ بالخصوص حرمین شریفین مسجد افسانی حفاظت فرما, مساجد کی حفاظت فرما, مدارس کی اہل مدارس کی حفاظت فرما, خانقاہوں کی حفاظت فرما, جماعتوں کی جمعیتوں کی حفاظت فرما, دین کے جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں سب کی حفاظت فرما, سب دین کے کام کرنے والوں کو ایک دوسرے کا رفیق بنا دے, ایک دوسرے کا معاون بنا دے, ایک دوسرے کا دوست بنا دے, ایک دوسرے کو اچھی نظر سے دیکھنے والا بنا دے, آپس کے انتظار سے حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین اس مسجد میں, یہاں کے مدرسے میں ہر قسم کی خیر و برکت پیدا فرما, اسے خیر کے وجود میں آنے کا ذریعہ بنا, خیر کے پھیلنے کا ذریعہ بنا, ہر شر سے اس جگہ کی حفاظت فرما, ہر فتنے سے اس جگہ کی حفاظت فرما. یہاں کے ائمہ, یہاں کے علماء, یہاں کے قراء, یہاں کے حفاظ, یہاں کے اساتذہ میں الہ العالمین, یہاں کے منتظمین میں خوب خیر و برکت پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین ان کے اتحاد میں, اتفاق میں برکت پیدا فرما, ان کے اخلاص میں برکت پیدا فرما, علماء کے علوم میں, فیوز میں برکت پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین دینی جد و جہد اور کوششوں کے لیے اور الہ العالمین نے رغبت نصیب فرما. یا رحم الراحمین اس مدرسے کو, الہ العالمین اس مدرسے کو ہدایت کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا دے, علم کے فروغ کا ذریعہ بنا دے, عمل کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا دے. الہ العالمین اسے ہدایت کا مرکز بنا دے. الہ العالمین اس کے آگے کے جتنے منصوبے ہیں, الہ العالمین ان میں آسانیاں پیدا فرما, کامیابی نصیب فرما, لوگوں کے دلوں کو اس کی طرف متوجہ فرما دے. نئی تعمیر کے لیے جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے, جتنے پیسوں کی ضرورت ہے, سب کا غیب سے انتظام فرما. الہ العالمین سہولت کے ساتھ, عافیت کے ساتھ اسے پائے تکمیل تک پہنچا, اس کی بنیادوں کو تقوی پہ استوار فرما. الہ العالمین اسے مسجد نبوی کا نمونہ بنا دے, مسجد کوبا کا نمونہ بنا دے. الہ العالمین حرم شریف کا نمونہ بنا دے. الہ العالمین جتنی اچھی مسجدیں ہیں ان سب کا اسے نمونہ بنا دے. یہاں آنے والوں میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما. یا رحم الراحمین جس بچے نے قرآن حفظ کیا ہے اسے قبول فرما دے. یہ اس مدرسے کا سب سے پہلا حافظ ہے. الہ العالمین یہ بنیاد ہے, اس بنیاد کو پختہ بنا دے. الہ العالمین جس طرح تو نے اس سے حفظ کی تکمیل کروائی اور پھر الہ العالمین مزید شوق اور رغبت دے کر تو نے ایک ہی مجلس میں قرآن پڑھنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائی اور اسے قرآن اور الفاظ کا حافظ بنایا. یا رب العالمین اسے علوم کا عالم بھی بنا دے, علوم قرآنی کا عالم بنا دے, اسے عالم باعمل بنا دے, عالم ربانی بنا دے. الہ العالمین اسے صلحاء میں, اولیاء میں شامل فرما دے, اسے امت کی قیادت کے لیے قبول فرما دے. الہ العالمین اس کے ذریعے دین کو پورے عالم میں عام فرما, علم کو پورے عالم میں عام فرما, روحانیت کو پورے عالم میں عام فرما. الہ العالمین اسے اپنے ماں باپ کے لیے, اپنے استاد کے لیے, منتظمین اور جن لوگوں نے اس کے پیچھے محنتیں کی ہیں, سب کے لیے, ہم سب کے لیے آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک کا ذریعہ بنا, نجات کا ذریعہ بنا. الہ العالمین آخرت میں صدقہ جاریہ بنا. یا رب العالمین اس سلسلے کو تا قیامت جاری فرما. الہ العالمین اس حفظ کے سلسلے کو, علم کے سلسلے کو یہاں پر تا قیامت جاری فرما. بہت زیادہ برکتیں عطا فرما, بہت زیادہ برکتیں عطا فرما, بہت زیادہ برکتیں عطا فرما. یا رب الرحیمین, یا رب الرحیمین, یا رب الرحیمین. آپ کے محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جتنی بھلائیوں کی دعا مانگی ہے وہ ساری بھلائیاں عطا فرما, جتنی برائیوں سے پناہ مانگی ہے ان ساری برائیوں سے پناہ عطا فرما. جن جن بھائیوں نے, بہنوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے, لکھا ہے, ہم سے امید رکھتے ہیں, جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے, جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں, محبت رکھتے ہیں, ہمارے محبین محسنین, خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ, ہمارے اساتذہ, ہمارے مشائخ, ہمارے رشتے دار, بھائی بہن, اہل و عیال, ماں باپ, الہ العالمین ہمارے چاہنے والے پوری امت کے مسلمانوں کے تمام جائز مقاصد کو پورا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہم میں جو بیمار ہیں انہیں شفائے کاملہ, عاجلہ, مستمرہ, دائمہ نصیب فرما. ظاہری باطنی جسمانی روحانی بیماریوں سے نجات عطا فرما. الہ العالمین جو بھی اولاد ہے اولاد صالح عطا فرما, اولاد والوں کو اولاد کی طرف سے آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک نصیب فرما, جو گمراہ ہے دین سے دور ہے ہدایت عطا فرما کر دین سے قریب کر دے. اے ارحم الراحمین ظاہر باطن کی اصلاح کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین جو روزی کی تنگی میں مبتلا ہے وسعت والی برکت والی روزی عطا فرما. الہ العالمین جو بے گھر ہے انہیں وسعت والے اپنے مکانات نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین, الہ العالمین, الہ العالمین جو مقدمات میں پھنسے ہوئے ہیں, جیلوں میں بیٹھے ہوئے, باعث رہائی نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین تیرے بندوں میں بھی جو جس جس پریشانی میں پورے عالم میں جہاں کہیں بھی مبتلا ہے اس کی پریشانی کو دور فرما, اس کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. اس کے سینے کو اس کے دل کو سکون سے لبریز فرما دے. الہ العالمین اسے اطمینان قلب نصیب فرما, اسے الہ العالمین تیرا تعلق نصیب فرما. اے رحم الرحیمین جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما, جو نہیں مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما. الہ العالمین جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا مگر نہیں مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما. اے رحم الرحیمین, اے رحم الرحیمین مہد اپنے لطف و کرم سے اپنے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی توفیق سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين, وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.